Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
Why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Fun show today. Thanks to Craig Calcaterra, Sage Rosenfels, Paul Charchian. A little Bears discussion, a lot of White Sox stuff happening. Thanks to Evan Thomas, Connor O'Donnell, Brian Gertsch, Mike Rankin, and Ray Diaz for doing all his stuff. The top of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Transition presented by CarX, Tire, and Auto. And Lawrence Holmes takes over the reins. Hello.
Hello, you two. What is good?
Well?
Adam Engel is back.
Okay. For how long?
I don't know.
That's a problem.
Because it hasn't really gone well the last time we've said that.
Yeah.
And the time before.
You know.
Yeah.
I was joking. I've been joking for the last couple of weeks that I'm in this really great place as a White Sox fan because the games don't matter and I can just watch them kind of drift their way with their 500 record since the All-Star game right into the playoffs, right into them winning a division. And then last night happened and I'm sitting there going, oh no, oh no. Like, yep. This is not great, Bob. Like all of this with, because the Rodon thing, you have to rethink a lot of stuff if he's not right. And watching him, yes, get someone out with an 89-mile-per-hour four-seamer, but seeing him labor through three innings to then have him not look right when they went to him in the dugout, didn't look right there, having Tony La Russa even be like, yeah, we're probably a little concerned. And he hasn't gone deeper than, what, five innings since July 18th?
Yes. That's it. July 18th was his last over five inning start.
This was last night. This is my White Sox childhood friends group chat as this is all going on. Giolito and Lynn, then a big shot of gin. And the response to that was Lynn, Giolito, and a giant mojito.
Oh, that's good.
That these are your slogans for White Sox pitching staff right
well,
now.
Well, I was thinking about that last night.
It's time for wine.
If Carlos Rodon is not available for you, I was thinking that you go Lynn, Cease, Giolito. The reason is, in the DS, if some bad things happen in games one and two, do you really want Dylan Cease back in the position of you've got to hold it down to get us to game four?
No, I don't want pressure on him. I want him to operate from a more comfortable place and where my trust level is going to be higher because he struggles when the lights are on sometimes.
So that's why I
kind of disagree.
You want the pressure on that?
Because he's weird like that. Like, okay. He gets himself into jams and then gets out of them. And I was skeptical at first, but it seems to be a mode that works. And I think he likes to get a little weird.
Well, we'll see.
I know, this you're is right. Living dangerously, I but we're right. All living dangerously anyway. So maybe we just take it. Maybe we just take it there.
But playoff games are so weird that you wonder, will he be allowed to work out of a jam?
Will his weirdness match the weirdness of the playoffs?
In my scenario, it's the White Sox down 0-2. Is TLR going to be like, he needs to work through this? No, I don't think he is. Yeah. I think he's going to...
TLR is going to use Michael Kopech for 75 innings.
Oh, yep.
And then throw Craig Kimbrell the seventh.
That's been,
and then it's going to get real weird.
That's been bad, too.
This is going to be a weird clinch. You know, there have been there have been more celebratory clinches before. We've all had those stories back when that was, you know, this huge deal. Remember the up in Minnesota with Paul Konerko holding the Coors Light as he's rounding the bases and sliding into home, and then he didn't know that it was somebody was taping it or whatever it was. This is going to be sort of like a yay, let's celebrate. We know there's bigger and better things, and finding that balance, but kind of feels heavy with all the headwinds.
It feels heavy for a lot of reasons because there's been a bunch of people that have jumped in and out of the lineup. And because they got such a big lead, we all just kind of said, ah, that's great. They're going to win the division. And none of us know if how they're playing means anything once we get to, what, October 5 or whatever. None of us know if that even matters. But it's hard. It's hard watching Cesar Hernandez, who in the first 3 weeks that he was a White Sox was pretty good. And since then has been really bad, including last night. It's hard to know what it is that you're looking at and how it all works together and just clicks on. With the strength of this team all year being how dominant their starting pitching was. And now you could end up in a situation where you might have to give a start to Dallas Keuchel in a playoff game. And no one wants that except for Dallas.
The depth has finally gotten to him.
The season. Like, this is what 162 is. 162 makes cowards of us because now you've had all of these things and it worked out so well in the first half of the season. Didn't matter who they called up. Didn't matter who they signed. Didn't matter who they threw out there to throw. Those guys got results. And now they've been kind of rolling downhill with the tires falling off. And now with the engine catching on fire just to get to the end. And when you get to the end, what will you have left?
Cesar Hernandez's slash line, .218. .293 on base, slugging .285.
And the play he made yesterday, Nick Madrigal could have made.
Additionally, are you guys as scared as I am that Connor Pilkington might be some amazing dude? Because that's how the Cleveland Indians evaluate pitching talent.
I'm not
like,
even.
When they're like, we'll take.
You can't worry about that.
I'm not even worried. Like, Layla, I can't even. I'm not even worried about beyond. I am now in the place where I'm worried about 3 weeks from now.
Like, that's happening.
I don't even care about prospects that were given away. None of it, because all of it was supposed to be about winning the World Series in 2021.
You know when I started worrying about it? When Tampa Bay traded for Nelson Cruz. Game on.
Yes. I mean, you saw the and the White Sox, look, I don't have a problem with what it is that Rick Hahn and Kenny did here. I thought that them picking up Tapera, them picking up Kimbrel, them picking up Hernandez were all moves that could be defended.
Yep.
All of those moves are like, oh, that totally makes sense. You bolster up the bullpen. The games are going to shorten in the playoffs, that sort of stuff. But stuff hasn't worked out. And at first, I think we all thought that it would be Hendricks that would struggle with the fact that it's Hendricks and Kimbrel. And now it looks like it's Kimbrel who's struggling with it. And I don't think that it's just role-based. I think if you go back and look at what was going on with Kimbrel when he was a Cub, all of the stuff that they had to do to get him in the right place to pitch, all of the things that they did from the way pitch sequencing, him getting back control of his off-speed stuff, him finding the life on his fastball, all of those
release
things.
Point.
Absolutely. All of that stuff went into him refinding himself after looking like a guy that might be at the end of his dominance.
Yes.
So it's not surprising to see him be clunky without some of that infrastructure that he had had and some of the trust that he had with him and David Ross and all the work that they did to get him back to where he was. It's just... it's really too bad. Like if Rodon goes out there next Tuesday and we're talking about a guy that's even mid-90s, even if he's 92, 93, is that the guy that can get people out?
Not with no slider. And the reason he's a big league pitcher is that slider.
Yeah. Didn't have the slider. And yesterday, when I really got panicky with him was, oh no, he's trying to get people out with his changeup. Like, it's, I can't get what I need, so I need to make it look like, I'll tunnel this changeup to make it look like my four-seamer, and that's only going to get you so far.
It's also the mixing of the speeds. That's been the other differentiating piece for him that has really worked in his favor this season, is it's two fastballs, it's two sliders, it's a changeup. And if you're losing velocity in the game, which is something that we do not see out of him, that's the red flag here. And that's why I'm surprised that he didn't think that we were going to ask these questions.
Well, this is kind of a throwback to Hard Carl. This is what Carlos Rodon was a few years ago, when things aren't going well. That's the version of him that you get.
But you heard Keuchel too, and those are only a few days apart. And it just, I tend to think that when you hear this kind of stuff, there's something there. Like, reporters have covered clubhouses long enough. We all see the stress point of the season. You're 31-30 since the All-Star break. Something is adding up here.
Well, let's see what Dallas does today. Because if I'm him, I'm looking at this as an opportunity. Now, the weight of the data that we have on Dallas Keuchel in the second half of the season, for the season overall, is bad. But his last performance was decent, even though he seemed to be mad that they lost the game. And I do wonder if Dallas is the best teammate when he's not pitching well. So let's see if he goes out there and pitches well.
He's in the right park for what has been victimizing him, and that's been the long ball for the most part. And if he can pitch a little bit more to contact, if he doesn't think it's going to fly over his head.
But I
just don't like to see this dissension and this instability when you're trying to clinch the playoffs, especially after what happened last year.
Yes.
When they're like, yeah, we let our foot off the gas, and then Abreu says something, and then Keuchel says something, and they're going back and forth about it, and it's like, what is happening here? You need a united front.
It could all flip. The calendar can flip over, and it could all be fine. And if it's not fine, then all of us will point back to, wow, this team was 500 after the All-Star break. Yeah. How is that possible when you have a three-war player like Robert come back and be a three-war player? You have Yasmani Grandal, I think, legitimately deserving MVP votes.
Oh, there's no question. The numbers say so.
And you get TA back and all this other stuff. Aloy returns. And yet and still, it hasn't come together in the second half of the season, and they haven't dominated, which makes you wonder, is this team as really good as their record is? Or were they actually bum-slaying the American League Central because it was so bad?
Or did they really need to trade for Kimbrel, which is something I questioned before they traded for him? Happy it happened, but still, it's like, where are the resources going? Is that really what you need?
I
needed another arm.
I still can defend that one. I can still defend the moves that were made sense. So I don't want to act like retroactively, I'm like, I wasn't happy that they went and said, let's go dominate with arms. Let's really shut a game down and make it a 5-inning or 6-inning game. I understand the logic behind it.
Yeah, you made the point earlier, though, and this is just something to keep an eye on. It is possible Cubs Pitch Lab is better than Sox Pitch Lab.
Yep.
And it is possible that with all those years of your pitching infrastructure atrophying under Don Cooper and being the same, sort of like what happened with the Bulls, what John Paxson admitted happened with the Bulls, that you got outstripped by the rest of it. And I don't know if the Cubs are industry standard. I don't know if the Cubs are really, really good at it or where they are. But I know for Kimbrel, everything you were just kind of talking around about how complicated his delivery is and about how he can get in his head and about how he needs that infrastructure, it may just be that when you traded for him, and maybe the Cubs knew it too, and that when you traded for him, the Cubs got a found value there because their pitch lab is just better.
Go back to the other side of that trade too, Dan. I was one of the only, and maybe the only person, that talked about Cody Hoyer. And I know that Hoyer struggled. I loved that trade for the Cubs because the Cubs had an opportunity to allow him to be an eighth or ninth inning guy without having to worry about trying to win something. he's been fantastic for the Cubs. Mm-hmm. And it makes you wonder, did he go over there and they said, hey, man, hey, Slim, we've looked at what you've been doing. You just need to tweak this. You got all the stuff. Just tweak this and you can go get people out.
Because the numbers bear out with Kimbrel that statistically, and we talked about BABIP earlier too. I think that's key. It's like us measuring Keuchel with his FIP. These are key stats that we use to indicate what we're talking about with these two.
Peripherals.
But that doesn't mean it's statistically significant down to zero. That's where the number actually overrides what you're seeing. That doesn't draw it all the way down to a zero ERA for 2 months.
I just feel horrible for Rodon. Like, I really do. Like, one of the best stories of the baseball season has been him. And for him to be in this space where his whole future is sitting in front of him. And what is he supposed to do? If we start looking at this from the human being element, is he supposed to bang on the table and say, let me pitch, let me pitch, let me pitch? When the extra stress of whatever game he starts next week and perhaps in the playoffs might actually put him on the shelf for a long time and not allow him to cash in on what was his best season as a pro. It's very depressing to think about it that way.
I will also offer this, because I agree. We were so happy to see him hit that no-hitter or throw the no-hitter after everything he had been through. Like, we've all seen it. We've all been there. We've all watched it together. Stoney included in that, by the way. But if Jake Arrieta, after getting DFA'd by the Cubs, can still find his way into a playoff contending team with the Padres, the starting pitching dearth is there. He's going to get paid. It just might not be as much money.
Fair enough.
You know who also went through this? One Dallas Keuchel and one Craig Kimbrel.
However,
when did those two sign?
However, the wild card in this is, and only he knows, until they
go in
or until they look at it, only he knows. And I will just say, I don't want to speculate too much, but I will because that's what we do for a living.
Yep.
Is that his defiance appears to me to be desperate and scared. And he's got to know something. And this is the way athletes are. It is certainly the way pitchers are. That did you ever read the book, The Cactus League? Because one of the sub-characters of The Cactus League, Emily Nemens does an amazing job getting in this guy's head. And he's a veteran reliever who knows something's wrong and something went wrong with one of his surgeries. And it's in his mind on the mound and what he's saying and what he's not saying. And eventually he just washes out and he's done. And it's going through that push and pull about the money and the family and everything and all of it. And this is how they are. This isn't uncommon. We know where it comes from, but it just seems so scared. He's got to know something. And if he's got to go under the knife again, that contract isn't there.
The question that I keep in my mind, I wrote it down last night because it's the question that I haven't heard the Sox be asked this way. What's wrong with Carlos Rodon?
That's
the question. Not, hey, you know, his velocity, you seem to be, what's wrong with him? Because you've given him time off. You've allowed him to get these rest days in. You've limited the amount of innings that you're asking him to throw. And yet and still, every time that he takes the ball, there's something that goes wrong. He doesn't, as La Russa said last night, he doesn't feel right. Why? What's wrong with him that he doesn't feel right? I don't know if the White Sox have the answer to it. I don't know if they're afraid to ask that question of themselves because what it might mean diagnostically to try and find out.
I will also say this. For everybody who says that we bang on Tony all the time and hate him and always talk about how he is, all of us are in agreement that we respect his opinion and what he said after the game about this, yes?
He was great last night.
Yeah. He was honest. He told us the truth. And his acumen in acknowledging what we all saw is respect.
He's got to start looking at this from the standpoint of I have to manage, like literally manage this. I've got to figure out, is my playoff rotation now Len, Giolito, and Cease? Is that what I'm going to war with? Instead of Rodon, I've got to figure out, how do I tell him that? How do I tell a guy that had this type of season that he can't help us if the goal is to try to win a World Series? How do I tell Dallas Keuchel, a guy that's won a Cy Young, I don't know if your stuff is going to play, especially against that particular lineup where you're probably going to match up with
the Astros? That's one level. The other level is Rick Hahn saying, Carlos, we have scheduled an MRI for you. Now, that's not up to the player.
They did that with Michael Kopech, didn't they? Is that what happened?
That's
with
not
Kopech
up to the player.
That's how we found out he had Tommy John.
Where a team that is concerned about, and maybe they don't feel that way because he's not their asset. The moment the season's over,
they
he doesn't belong
way.
To them.
They should feel that way because if there is something wrong with him, it's better to know and not have him go out there and throw into something worse.
That's like saying if I don't go to the doctor, I don't get sick.
That's why I keep what's wrong with Carlos Rodon. That's the question, and that's the question organizationally the White Sox should be asking, because I don't know if we'll give him 7 days of rest and then we'll let him throw again. Well, you've done that multiple times.
Nine days, and he says, "Oh, it's just soreness." Well, then are you in playoff shape? Or if you want to take it literally and like on its face, then that's not good either.
And Layla, you're right about that. And you know why? Because Ethan Katz said the goal for last night was 80 to 90 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get there.
69.
He didn't get to.
And it wasn't nice.
And the idea being 80 to 90 pitches to get him so that he can get to 100 in the next start.
Mm-mm.
I appreciate the 480. What about Crochet? But man, just leave that be. Like, I need calculated innings out of Crochet and Kopech, please. Please, for the love of everything holy, let's not go there.
So we'll see. But last night, like after having this kind of zenny, like 3 weeks of just being like, ah, and last night I was like, oh man, everything is scary now.
Also, your theme of the Tigers being the team to show the White Sox flaws is really starting to become prevalent.
I think they have a really good manager.
I think they do,
too. Yeah, don't they?
I think they have a really good manager.
Who would have seen that coming?
Anyway,
sweet.
I am going to talk about Justin Fields today. I'm going to spend a little bit more time talking about Rodon. I don't care if the White Sox are playing baseball. And
what? You lie. You do care.
I mean, I don't care versus my show. And then I want to talk about the Manning cast because I watched it last night on recommendation from some friends. I've got some notes for the Manning cast. So I will see you both tomorrow.